Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. A new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast, returning from the Matrix. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the Merovingian.
Yep.
The Merovingian. That sounds really, really freaking like...
Sacre bleu. The French dude.
Come on. I know who he is. I know. I'm just like, that's just really deep, man. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, you are here in the all.
This is Long, the Oracle. How's that?
The Oracle. He sees all from his third eye.
From his third eye?
What? Yeah. Okay, I don't
know. I mean, well, Neo has no eyes for most of this movie, so you know.
This is true, man.
And I actually kind of, we'll talk about it in a minute, I guess, but I kind of forgot about that until I rewatched this. I'm like, oh, yeah, that happens. Yeah. There was a lot of moments in this movie today that I'm like, oh, yeah, because this is probably the one I'm the least familiar with. I was like, oh, that happens. Oh, that happens. I just kind of forgot about some things.
Yeah, I only remember like two parts of the movie, two big scenes, and that's it.
But it's cool. So how are you guys? Man, I know it's man, it's like that week after the holidays feels like it's been like five Mondays for me anyway. It's just like, good Lord, I'm grateful it's Friday. I know Long is definitely grateful it's Friday and can kind of reset our batteries for the weekend, and it's just like... Oh, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. I got not much to do this weekend for once before the holidays start heating up. And it's just like, other than pick up my car tomorrow, I'm just going to hopefully relax and maybe try to watch some movie or something and just enjoy the weekend.
And there you go.
Because we have inventory at work next week. So Monday and Tuesday will be fun days. So, yeah. I'm glad to see, though, Long made it through his Friday. His text message this morning, I thought he was going to rage quit on them motherfuckers.
I thought so, too, man.
So,
the old rage quit.
Came very close.
It's good you made it through. But then all of a sudden, you realize, like, you see a Dorito, and you realize, damn, I like food. I can't quit. You know, I don't know.
A Dorito?
Yeah, a Dorito. I don't know. It's just a random thought there. Nice. Or, like, I like to drink Coca-Cola. You know, I'd like to try it first, or that commercial. But no, it's good. It's like when you're 20s, you can do that kind of shit, rage quit. But now you got like responsibilities. It's like, god damn, I gotta pay bills.
You're like, I got bills and stuff. You're like, I guess I'm gonna just stick around and, you know, and take it.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah,
I mean, you get the point where you get our age, you don't even loop up anymore. You just take it straight up.
Like, yeah, whatever. Man.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, pretty much. All right, well, let's get on to today's show. We'll talk about this movie we're gonna talk about. We always start the show with Download This, man, where we tell people what we watch, stream to check out this week, and hopefully you guys check something out. I watched a little bit of things, but I'll let one of you guys go first.
The new expansion for Final Fantasy XIV dropped this weekend.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to playing the new main story quest for that.
Yes, I see you on Discord, always logged in to Final Fantasy.
Yeah. And, just looking forward to that. And that's it. I'm going to spend all weekend at home, order pizza in, not going anywhere.
Did you watch the third Hawkeye episode?
I didn't get to, no.
Oh, okay. I thought you might have.
Oh, expansion time. Although I might watch it while I'm waiting to get back in the queue again tomorrow morning, depending how busy it is. I mean, I should have watched Hawkeye while I was waiting. It took about 45 minutes for me to log in.
Yeah. This is a solid episode.
There was a queue line.
I haven't watched them yet.
I guess I'll go. Finished watching the second episode because I didn't see like the last 9 minutes of episode two, and then went and watched episode three, bit more action in this one, and a little bit more comedy. I like it so far. And then they left a nice cliffhanger at the end. Pretty cool. So we'll see where it goes. Her, you know, soon to be stepdad is definitely sketchy. Sketchy. So we'll see where that goes. That's, you know, there's definitely something there, obviously. Also, watched Home Alone 1 and 2. Because, I mean, man, I just love those movies growing up. Me and my cousin would make booby traps and try and, like, booby trap each other.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Why does that not fucking surprise me?
That's what you did, you know?
You're the kid who would shoot his eye out, like, in Christmas.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
You're that kid, man.
Shoot his balls.
Yeah.
Shoot his own balls. With a like a powerful Nerf gun or something.
Yeah.
It'd be like that little kid that was like, oh.
I watched the Grinch animated, you know, the 2018, not the original. My oldest son likes the original, which is cool. I like that he likes that, cause that's what I grew up on. And then of course, they had a deal this week on Ghostbusters Remastered. So I bought that, and I never played the first Ghostbusters game. So this was cool. Definitely, you know, want more Ghostbusters. And this was a kind of, you know, supplemental thing for me to play. I like it so far. I like that you have like different packs and stuff and this experimental equipment. I know Mark's beaten the game before. I don't know if you have long, but I'm most of the way through, so can't wait to, I think you fight Evo Shandor or something, or the devil at the end. Mm-hmm. And can't wait to do that. So hopefully
what I can game get again?
There this week. Ghostbusters.
The one that came out about 10 years ago.
Yeah, and then they remastered it, but I don't know when they remastered it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a fun game. I like it. It's really fun with other people, too.
You multiplay?
Yeah, catching ghosts.
Oh, cool. I'm going to have to try that. I've just been on story mode right now.
Yeah. Probably the best Ghostbusters game that came out. And that's not a very high bar to, you know, to overcome.
Because everything else was like NES, right? I don't think there was.
Yeah, well, they had the SNES. They had an arcade style game that was sold in like the PlayStation Network and Xbox Arcade just a few years ago too. It was a Ghostbusters something slime. It was okay. I think.
Yeah.
I think I have it on my PS3. It's on there. It was all right.
Okay.
I'd have to fire up the PS3 to look, but yeah. But there hasn't been, as long as right, there hasn't been a whole lot of good games based on that franchise.
Man, I think we're about to get some more stuff though. So we'll see what comes down the pipe, man. Can't wait, man.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it for me.
I've almost finished Cowboy Bebop, the live action. I've got one episode left, and, I continue to really like what they did with the show. I know it's got its critics out there and some haters, but I do like it. Me and a guy at work were talking about it, and we both agree that the bad guy Vicious is probably our only disappointment with the show because of the anime. You know, Vicious is, he's just a cool villain. You know, he's cool. And in the show, he's not cool. He's more of like a corny, kind of cheesy villain. And I think that's probably, you know, I wish they would have done that better in the show, but I did this last episode I watched actually, last night, episode 9, he redeems himself a little bit in the episode. He's actually pretty good in the episode. And there's a really great action sequence in that episode that's on par with like some of the stuff they did in Daredevil and those kind of action scenes. And so it's picked up. So I'm going to try to watch the finale this weekend of the first season of that. I've really enjoyed it so far. And then in PlayStation Cell, I picked up a copy, digitally, MLB The Show 21. I was like, it was only $20. And I had MLB The Show 20, but it had so many glitches in it. I was just, and I didn't play it a lot because it frustrated me. But I went on and read reviews of 21 before I bought it and read that they did improve those glitches from last year's game. And so far, so good. I played a few games in, and I'm like, definitely an improvement over last year's glitchy version. And which is so bizarre because like 18 was like considered the best version of the game. It was really good. 19 was basically a clone of 18. It got good reviews too. So how do you screw that up? Then 20 comes out and it's all glitchy as hell. There's graphic glitches, all kinds of issues. It's like, what happened between the engine on 18 and 20? You know, it's like, and it seems like 21 is going back to how 18 was. So that's good. And I picked up a couple of movies, but I haven't watched them yet on the Black Friday sales. I actually jumped into Target last Saturday, and I know it didn't get really well reviewed, but I picked up a copy of Snake Eyes. It was only $6, man, on Blu-ray. I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy it.
Not bad.
And I haven't watched it yet. And I never saw 1917, that Sam Mendes war movie, and I heard it was really good. It was like $6 also. So I picked up a couple movies. I'm going to try to get them watched here during the holidays and see what they're like. And I don't buy a whole lot of movies I haven't seen before, but I was like, I heard really good things about 1917, so I figured for $6, you know.
Wasn't it all shot in one shot?
A lot of it. They try to make it look like that, but they use a lot of camera tricks and editing to put it together. A lot of it is kind of shot in one shot, but it's a lot of editing effects too. So I'm kind of looking forward to watching that because I do like war movies and history movies, and so that should be cool. I feel like there was something I watched, but I guess not, you know. I think it was just the Cowboy Bebop and playing the MLB The Show, and that's about it. I think we were going to try to sit down and watch 8-Bit Christmas because it's on HBO Max. I've heard good things about it, but didn't sit down and watch it yet. Maybe this weekend. So I guess it's about a kid who wants a Nintendo for Christmas, and apparently it's pretty fun and pretty good. So I'm just going to give it a shot. And I'll try to check it out because, I mean, that's it for HBO Max. We got The Matrix in a couple weeks, and it's back to having to go to the theaters to see these movies, you know, or 45-day windows.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. I kind of got a little spoiled with these movies coming straight to HBO Max. I don't know. I'm getting old, I guess. I really enjoy the movie theater experience, but I really like being able to watch it at home, too.
Convenience is nice, you know. It does go a ways, you know.
Yeah, for sure. So, but we'll see. Well, that's it, man. I think that's all I really watched. So,
the only thing I took advantage of for freaking Black Friday was Amazon was selling Calvin Klein underwear, and they're like the best underwear I've ever worn. So I was like, hell yeah, these are on sale. I'm buying them. Well, I mean, they're comfortable. I mean, you compare them to Fruit of the Looms. It's it's night and day. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. I didn't see a whole lot of Black Friday stuff I couldn't live without, man. You know, I mean,
the order we get, maybe.
Well, I did make an order. I ordered a Star Wars figure on Black Friday. It was it's somewhere around here. It's a prototype armor Boba Fett Black Series, and so they have that on sale. So I bought that, and then like I said, those couple of movies. But yeah, I didn't see anything I couldn't live without this year. It's just like, yeah. But I need to start learning my lesson on fucking movies, though, man. Like, I bought Godzilla vs. Kong back when it came out. You know, you're wrong. I liked the movie, but I paid like $24. If I just wait a few months, I could have gotten it for like $8 this week, you know? But sometimes I'm not patient. You know, if I really enjoy it, I want to own it. I want to watch it, you know? But yeah, dang it. Then at the same time, it's like I could have saved some money.
If you enjoyed it, you enjoyed it. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. So it's all good. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's get into today's movie. A movie we just talked about, HBO Max, and this was the end of the original trilogy of Matrix films, and we were doing these movies because in a couple weeks, the 21st, I believe, or 22nd, The Matrix Resurrections hits theaters and HBO Max. Looking forward to that, to seeing how they bring this saga back alive. Because one thing I was really thinking about after watching The Matrix Revolutions. So I'm like, how are they going to do this? But we'll find out in a few weeks. But that is today's movie we're talking about, The Matrix Revolutions, the conclusion of the original Matrix trilogy. And I guess I can summarize this one up because it's not hard to summarize. No. Basically, this is the conclusion of what occurred in the first two films. And it's pretty much a 2-hour action film as the humans are still alive in Zion trying to defend their city from the machines. While in the meantime, Neo goes on a quest with Trinity to go to the machine city and essentially try to stop them by stopping Agent Smith, by helping them. He kind of convinces them that he needs his help. And then everybody basically dies at the end of the movie, you know, in some way. And it's kind of left open-ended in a way. Is the Matrix still exists or does it not? That's kind of what I got from it.
It exists.
Yeah,
they reset it, but they struck a treaty. Humans can leave if they want to leave. I never got how, you know, Neo defeated Smith, but Deus Ex sends a deletion code through Neo when he lets Agent Smith infect him.
It's like a virus.
Yeah.
This out of the three Matrix films, this one I'm probably the least familiar with. I've seen it a couple of times, and rewatch it this week, and we were talking about this a little earlier. It's just like there's a lot of stuff in this I kind of forgot happens in this movie. It starts off a little clunkier than Reloaded, you know.
Yeah.
With a lot happening in the first 15 minutes, there's this battle with the Bane, who's like Agent Smith, who got inside the Matrix, and all of a sudden Neo loses his eyes, and it's just like, after he tells them that he has to take a ship to go to the Machine City, and it's just like a lot happens in the first 10 minutes or so. And then you're thrown into this wild action scene with these machines that the humans have to fire bullets, almost something out of the Aliens mechs. Movie.
Yeah.
Mechs. And it's just like...
like a 40-minute mech battle.
and it's cool. Like, the action is really good in this movie, but the action is really good in all the Matrix movies. That's one thing the Wachowskis do a great job of is their action scenes are extraordinary. I mean, even in the V for Vendetta movie... and even in Speed Racer and some of the other movies, and I know they didn't direct V for Vendetta, they produced it, but they directed Speed Racer. They shoot really good action scenes, and that's one thing I will say about them. And Matrix Revolutions, despite its story flaws, isn't lacking in action scenes. It has some really great stuff in it. But that is where it's lacking. The plot in this film, in the third film of the Matrix trilogy, is so thin that it really holds together by a thread throughout the movie. And you really have to almost suspend your belief more in this one than even the other two. You just have to kind of like go with it. Okay, Neo's going to do this.
Yeah.
That's my initial thoughts on The Matrix Revolutions. There's a lot going on in a 2-hour action film that's trying to hold together the plot.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that happened. Agent Smith assimilates like everybody, including the Oracle. And then he kind of looks... a whole lot different than his the first Matrix. You know, he's very kind of calm and calculated for the most part, and then now he's like, I've got the Matrix, you know, I've got the Oracle's eyes, and he does that weird thing. He gets like the fish eyes and his eyes get all big, and then he's got the epic speech at the end where he's like, why do you persist? Why do you persist, Neo? And I'm just like, this just isn't becoming of Agent Smith for me, but you know, hey, you know, he's flying through the air. Him and Neo are bashing the shit out of each other. And, you know, he does see himself winning, but, he assumes he wins, I guess. And you're like, man, who's going to win? The guy that can see the next move coming or the guy that can bend the Matrix to his will. But, it was a cool fight. That and the mech fight was what I always remembered. And I'd forgotten that the pact that he makes with Deus Ex, that, you know, if he helps destroy Agent Smith, that they will have peace for as long as peace can last. Some of the stuff did remind me. And then you've got that kid. I actually kind of like the kid that's like, Neo saved Mouse. Us. Yay.
His name is Mouse, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, he was annoying.
but
I love the siege scene. It's one of my favorite movie action scenes, in the science fiction setting. It's just all of those bullets flying into the invasion breach. by the squid army. It's just amazing. It's just a spectacle. Yeah. And then it's just, I just felt like you're definitely build a tension there. It's like, well, this is the last stand of humanity. Don't know how they'll get through that. Right. I also like the Jada Pinkett Smith's character piloting the
Naomi
their ship. That chase sequence, that's also fun too. So.
She comes back in Resurrections.
Oh, yeah.
Reprising her role. Yeah.
Yeah.
Watching the end of this makes me realize how Resurrections could happen. Because, you know, the little girl program, she's like, I don't think that's the last we'll see of him. I think we're going to see Neo again, you know, or I think she says something like that at the end.
Well, she asks if we'll see him again.
Yeah. And the Oracle says, I don't foresee that happening, but I won't rule it out
either. You never know, yeah.
Yeah. So they leave it open. So I guess it resets. You know, Trinity dies. We didn't mention that. Trinity dies.
Well, yeah. We haven't gotten to that.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Carrie Ann Moss.
Yeah, after saving her in the second movie. I got irritated by that.
Yes. Oh, and that's the thing. That's how I feel about it. It's like he saves her. In the second one, he has this vision of her dying throughout the whole movie, and he's in to the climax of the film where he saves her, and then we're 45 minutes into this movie and she's dead. It's like, and it's such a. I like Keanu and I like Carrie Moss, but it's just not a very good scene. It's kind of poorly acted.
Yeah,
it drags on and on and on. It's like, even as a viewer, you're like, okay, fucking die, Trinity. You know, it's just like. and that's horrible to say, but that's kind of how it feels. You know, yeah, it could have been written a little better, that scene.
Redemption arc and resurrection. Redemption. Right. Yes.
And then it's like you're looking for Neo to have some sort of motivation out of that, right? But yet he still goes on this quest that he knows is going to end in his own death, you know, and that's kind of like. So it almost felt like Trinity maybe, I don't know, died unnecessarily, but it didn't change the outcome of anything.
Yeah.
Because I thought that Neo was going to find a way to save the Matrix and save everybody, but instead he just basically, like you said, it all gets reset.
Well, the machines, you know, agree not to attack the city of Zion.
Right.
Yeah.
And but, you know, like I said, the plot in this third one is a bit thin, but it's got – you guys are absolutely right. It's got some great action sequences in it. The bullet, the mech scene is awesome. You know, the fight between Neo and Smith at the end is really cool. I remember watching this back in 2003, and my first thought was like, why can't we get a Superman movie like this? You know, and of course we did. And you know, 10 years later, 13 years later, Man of Steel, we finally got a Superman movie where Superman's flying at high speeds and fighting Zod, and that's what you get with Neo and Smith. They're fighting at high speeds. It's a really cool sequence. Some amazing special effects and graphics in that scene. The rain is all small lines of Matrix code, you know, which is cool.
That was cool.
And it looks fantastic. And it's arguably some of the better choreographed scenes of the trilogy too. You know, that whole fight, and it's awesome. But I'm also with you too. Like this version of Agent Smith is almost, I guess he's supposed to be like a virus that's kind of out of control and he's not sure what he's doing. Cause there are some odd scenes. Like when he just starts talking like, oh, I've seen this happen before. It's like, wait, what did you see? All of a sudden you're a prophet. But I think it's supposed to, as a viewer, kind of cause you a confusion along with him that he's not even sure what's going on. Cause he's an out of control virus.
Well, no, he assimilated the Oracle. So he has her eyes. Yeah. But
it's just kind of bizarre the way
his dialogue, you know. Yeah, I think you may agree with me that it's just not becoming of Agent Smith from what we've seen in the first one, you know.
And that's why I think that the Wachowskis, you know, when the Matrix became a huge success and Warner Brothers asked them to make sequels, I think that their hearts were in it, but maybe not 100%. So there's some lazy writing in the sequels and some kind of lazy dialogue or overly complicated dialogue like in Reloaded where you're like, what are they talking about?
Well, they tried to make it the Matrix, remember?
Right.
And so they released this 6 months after.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's another thing that contributed to the lazy writing. But I think your point is probably the bigger one. You know, were they expecting to go farther than the first film? Probably not.
Right. No.
Were they excited? Probably, most likely. But were they also like, oh shit, we got to think of something. You know, slap it on there.
Yeah.
And but, yeah.
And this movie, it's funny because Reloaded made a lot of money. You know, it did really well when it came out 6 months before. And this movie came out and had a huge opening weekend. And word of mouth on it was not good. And this thing clunked out like at just over $120 million domestically. Did not do as well as the first two films at all. And it was just kind of a shocker to Warner Brothers and people that this movie just sort of – maybe it was Matrix Overload that year. And like I said, maybe they should have spread it a year apart. But yeah. This movie just came and kind of clunked and didn't do well. I didn't even get a chance to look what else came out around that time in 2003 that might have caused it. But it did not do as well as they expected to be compared to the first two. And a lot of that was just critics and word of mouth. It wasn't as well received. But rewatching this movie, you know, 17 years later or whatever, I don't think it's that bad. You know, I think it's a – it concludes the trilogy to what it needs to conclude. It's a little clunky, but – it's clunky with some really great action sequences, so you can forgive its clunkiness.
Yeah. I wonder if it came out around the same time as Two Towers, you know?
This came out in November. Yeah, so it was still almost 2 full months before the last Lord of the Rings film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or not 2 full months, but about 6 weeks. Yeah.
I remember the memes of the where it shows you know, the first Matrix, and then the people in the audience are like, yeah, and then the second film they're like, okay, this is kind of cool, and then the third one there's like empty seats, and I was like, oh,
yeah. Did you guys see this one in theaters?
No.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I remember it being kind of empty, but I was watching it like in the middle of the day.
Yeah, the mech battle was epic on the big screen.
In the weekday.
Yeah, I saw it in theaters just because, I mean, I was going to finish the trilogy at that point. I wasn't going to miss how it concluded, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember initially watching it back when it came out, and I wasn't really necessarily disappointed with it. I think my biggest thing I walked away from was like, well, that sucked. Neo and Trinity died. You know, you went through all this, and then you lose both your main heroes. But I guess I didn't think about the movie, whether it was great or not great at the time. But I see the flaws in it now. But I still don't think this is a terrible movie. I mean, it sits at just under a 7 on IMDb. So people generally like it, you know. Because it's not a terrible movie. It's just not the conclusion you were maybe hoping for, you know.
I thought it closed a lot of the important threads.
Right.
It was more important. So I didn't hate on it. It's like I was just one of those people that didn't hate on the movie as the general audience would.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think they were trying to capture some of the good stuff from the first one that made the first one very likable, like the lobby shootout scene. They kind of have a scene that looks like that, except they're upside down. They're like, all right, we're going to do that, but they're going to be on the wall. They're going to be upside down. And they shot it like that. They shot it with the rolling set.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. I do like that shootout scene.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing too. This movie has a series of like longer action sequences, like the ship chase and the mech scene and Neo versus Smith, instead of where Reloaded is full of a lot of short, quick action scenes. The same with the first Matrix. So, so I think they try to make this more epic with the longer action scenes. And I think I do think this movie works better when you watch it back to back, like we did last week and this week. I think when you watch it 6 months apart back when it came out, you probably forgot that this takes place immediately after Reloaded, you know, and watching it back to back like this, I think it helps it too, you know, to conclude the second film. You know, but the second, third film also feel like their own two films, you know, instead of, you know, they're connected to the first Matrix by name and that he's the one, but they also kind of tell their own story, two and three, you know?
Yeah.
Because the first one had a beginning, middle, and an end. You know, the story is kind of done. Then they open up a new story.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize, you know, Selma Hayek was a finalist to play Trinity.
Who? But
Selma Hayek.
Oh.
She was number three. Jada Pinkett Smith was the runner-up. What separated them all...
Well, I knew Jada Pinkett... couldn't, she had scheduling conflicts, so that's why she couldn't do the first one, but then they invited her back for the sequels. Yeah.
Yeah. Selma failed the physical agility course because they're like, oh, you have to run. And she's like, oh man, I'm not well conditioned to like do all this running stuff. And, apparently Carrie Ann Moss like just owned it. You know, she was the best on the, agility course that they had to, you know, interview and cast. And, even Jada was like, man, they got it right. You know, I wanted that role, but they got it right.
This was a game changer for her. I mean, Carrie Ann Moss had a career in television and some stuff, but this was her big break. And you know, she's been a superstar, maybe not a superstar, but she's certainly been a star since the Matrix films.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she still does a lot of TV, appeared in she's in the MCU technically because she was in Jessica Jones and appeared in that. Daredevil. She's done some other stuff. Yeah, Daredevil. Oh, yeah, she's done a lot of independent films, a lot of smaller work. But yeah. You know,
was she in Punisher? Did she?
I think she appears like in one episode, maybe. She was in Defenders. You know.
So, yeah, she's popped up in the MCU.
And honestly, Keanu, too, man. I mean, Keanu's career was not hurting or anything, but The Matrix was a big comeback for him. You know, he was kind of stuck to doing leading man romantic roles in the mid-90s there after Point Break and stuff. And The Matrix brought him back to action films and science fiction. So it was a big break for him, too.
Yeah.
And to think that Will Smith turned it down, and Keanu jokes about it all the time. He always says jokingly, like, thanks Will for turning it down.
Yeah. You know? It was going to be Will Smith as Neo, Val Kilmer as Morpheus, and Trinity was going to be Aaliyah.
Yeah. I knew they wanted Aaliyah, but she passed away. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I could see Will Smith as Neo, but I'm glad he didn't. You know,
I can't imagine it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that was post Independence Day, top of the game, Will Smith, but still.
You know. It was one of those movies where, you know, the second tier people, the backup roles ended up being the stars. Just like we did Seven a long time ago, and Seven was the same way. You know, all the main people picked turned it down, and you know the people that you know, Morgan Freeman and Brad Pitt and you know they ended up stealing the show, doing better.
I mean, it's funny how that works out sometimes, you know. Another one comes to mind was we covered, I think it was an episode where long missed, but when we covered The Fountain, you know, that was supposed to be Brad Pitt in a big budget film, and Darren Aronofsky found a way to make it with a small budget and use Hugh Jackman instead. And now I can't imagine anyone else in that role besides Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, sometimes that's just the way it works, you know? And you know, and now we'll see where The Matrix goes. We got a couple weeks till Revolutions comes out, and, I'm excited to watch it and see what happens. Everybody's a little bit older now. I am my biggest thing with it is that this new Morpheus better kick some ass, because you know I feel like they did my boy Lawrence Fishburne wrong by not putting him in this one. I've always liked Lawrence Fishburne. I've always thought he's a good character actor.
Yeah, you know? Same here. And,
so I hope there's a good reason why we're getting a new Morpheus. You know, and we'll see where it goes.
He may not want to do it.
No, he said they never asked him.
Oh,
he said they never asked me. He was up for it. And you know, he's obviously knows Keanu because he's been working with him on the John Wick films, and Keanu didn't even have an answer until they found out that it was a new Morpheus in this. So there better be a reason as to why there's a new Morpheus when they have the film.
Or he's maybe in the movie the whole time. He's just not playing his hand.
Maybe that's a black Serapi, you know?
Maybe. We'll
maybe see. Maybe they redid Serapi.
Yeah.
Never know.
We'll see.
He looks a little bit more, you know, like a little different fighting style than Morpheus, you know. Looks like he's fights more like Serapi did.
Mm-hmm. So how do you guys rate Matrix Revolutions to close out this
7.5.
B minus. Yeah. B minus, C plus kind of area.
Yeah. I think it's a B minus. I can't quite lower it to C's. I think it's better than the C movie.
Yeah.
So I'll give it a B minus. I think the action sequences, especially the Neo versus Smith fight, save it. from dropping lower.
The battle scenes are good.
Yeah. And everybody does their job. You know, Keanu, Carrie, other than the maybe the Trinity death scene, they all do their jobs acting-wise. I mean, Hugo Weaving's, you know, badass as Agent Smith. And
the guy, the guy that he takes over, I think, did a decent job of kind of doing a Hugo Weaving impersonation.
Does.
You know?
He does. You know, that guy is actually, I was reading while I was researching this movie, he's been in a lot of stuff. He's made a career. He's made small parts of movies, a lot of TV shows. The guy who played Bane, yeah, he's had quite a career out of it. And because he's appearing in this film. That's the other thing about the Resurrections. No Hugo Weaving in it, as far as we know. So that'd be weird to not have Agent Smith. Because you feel like Agent Smith's as an integral to the Matrix films as Neo and Trinity are. So, you know, so. But I guess not in Resurrections. So we'll see.
It's not.
All right. Well, that brings us to our top five for the week then. We're going to look back on the Matrix trilogy, and we're going to talk the top five Matrix moments in this trilogy of films. And who would like to go first?
I'll go first. Number five for me is the leap of faith scene in the first movie. It's humorous, yet a very important, profound scene. You know, that kind of starts the fantasy of it all. Yeah. So number five, the leap of faith.
Nice. For me, I've got the mech fight as number five. Feel like it's one of many epic battle scenes in the movie, very very entertaining and very epic.
My honorable mention was the what Long said, the becoming the one leap of faith. But at number five, I've got the lobby shootout in part one, where right after we get to see where he goes, we need guns, lots of guns. Then him and Trinity go into the lobby, and that's your first real look at kind of the world of the Matrix, what can be done, and it's a cool shootout. You know, it puts you into that world right away.
Yep. My number four is the whole chase sequence in Matrix Reloaded. Very edge of your seat, very close motorcycle ride perspective, and it's just very fast paced and exhilarating, and yeah, get to see a SUV get sliced by a sword. So
I have that same one, the Agent Smith fight, the multiplicate. That's the one you were talking about, Long.
No, the highway chase after the Chateau fight.
Okay. I've got the Agent Smith fight.
Weren't even listening to me.
Yeah, I thought I could have sworn. I don't know why I heard different or interpreted it different. But yeah, I think it's epic. I mean, it was up for I remember it being on some award ceremony where it was up for some kind of nomination. But I enjoyed it and feel like watching it again, it was the top four scene for me.
At number four, I've got the final battle between Neo and Smith in Revolutions. The mech fight is cool, but it's just something about seeing them two fly through the city and kicking each other's ass. I really like it. Like I said, in 2003, that made me think, man, why can't we get a Superman movie like this? Which we did several years later. But the final battle between Neo and Smith in Revolutions.
My number three is the dojo fight scene between Morpheus and Neo. Another great scene that illustrates what it's like to learn stuff instantly and how they become so powerful in the Matrix. And it's a very hard-hitting martial arts sequence. And it's choreographed by, you know, one of Hong Kong's best martial arts directors. Well,
I know Kung Fu.
Yeah. And some callbacks to a couple of Bruce Lee moments, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got the same one, man. Just the, you know, when he's learning everything And he's like, we're supposed to start with these programs, but he's like, let's start with these fight programs. And, you know, he just keeps taking them and taking them and taking them. And, you know, the whole don't think you are, know you are. And eventually, you know, Neo bests Morpheus at the end. And it, you know, it's cool watching him just evolve, you know, in that scene, in that sequence. So, yeah, dojo scene for sure.
And number three, I've got the Neo versus the multiple Smiths in Matrix Reloaded. Watching it last week, I was like, man, this scene is still really cool. It's funny because like it borderlines ridiculous at times because the Smiths just keep coming. But then all of a sudden, the Wachowskis pull out a really cool moment in that fight where you're like, okay, this is cool. Because it could have easily come across kind of cheesy of all these clones of Smith, but it's really well done. And it holds up well years later. And it's important to the rest of the story when he realizes that Smith is still alive and he has to battle a whole bunch of them. So. And it's the first time in Matrix Reloaded where you get to see Neo, like, really be Neo. Because we got the moment at the end of the first one where he becomes the one. But then there's a small sequence at the beginning of Reloaded, but that fight against Smith is that moment where we get to see Neo really truly use his strengths and powers, and I think that's cool.
Yeah. My number two is the lobby shootout from the first one. Never seen a shootout quite like that before. And it's like one of the few slow motion sequences I don't mind rewatching because I hate slow motion in films. But it was done right in that film. And everything just felt kinetic, fast-paced, and yeah, I like it a lot.
And heavily inspired by John Woo films. They even talked about it, that scene was influenced by Woo's films.
Yeah, I have the same one long. Just, I mean, from this moment.
Why are you copying me?
I know, you're copying me. from the moment he walks in and they're like, sir, do you have any metal on you? And he's just like, boom, you know, palm fist the security guard in the chest, and the shootout ensues and the shells just slowly falling on the floor and, you know, right next to their boots. And it's just awesome. You know, as like you said, Long, the first one of those slow motion, you know, scenes you don't mind rewatching time after time. And then, of course, to top it off, you know, in the elevator, you know, Neo says there is no spoon. And then, boom, they get to the rooftop.
Yep.
Yeah.
And number two, I have the sequence that changed cinema. I mean, and that's the bullet time sequence in part one, which was a sequence that blew people away when it came out because they had never been anything like it. It invented a new technology, which the Wachowskis and the production company gladly shared with other movie studios. And we've seen a lot of copying of it done. We've seen new variations of bullet time over the last 20 years in films. Hell, even in the MCU and stuff, we've seen some sequences with moving cameras and moving special effects around. And it's all because this single scene where he dodges bullets and it's fucking awesome. and it truly changed cinema in the way special effects are done on that short 30-second sequence.
Yeah. Number one for me, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. My number one is the the reveal of the actual real world outside of the Matrix. To me, it was a shock seeing that, because I thought the Matrix itself was the actual world, but the real world where the Matrix is just the metaverse was, and people being used as batteries to keep this machine alive. Yeah, it's very cyberpunk, you know.
That's a good one. I didn't even think about that. But that's like you said, that's such a cool moment and a shock, you know, to Neo, you know, the self-image, and explaining that, you know, he thinks he's in 99, but he's really in like 2099. Crazy. And then he like barfs cause he's like, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah. It's a very bleak world. So
you mean they have tubes up my butt? But, I've got number one as when he realized that he believes and he turns and he faces Agent Smith. He's not going to run anymore. And he's like, you know, he really starts to believe. And then of course ends up becoming the one, entering them, jumping into them and just making them explode. And, it's, you know, that's that whole thing where he's just like, you know, I'm not going to take it, you know, anymore. And I'm going to stand and fight your ass. Cool scene, man.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of the, where he stops all the bullets in front of him is still one of the most paused scenes in a movie, apparently, in time. And number one, I have the epic highway chase in Reloaded. I just think it's, rewatching last week, I was like, I forgot how incredible that whole sequence was. And maybe it's not the best single moment in the film, in the trilogy, but it stands out to me the most just because it's shot so well. We get to see Morpheus kicking ass. We get to see a lot of cool stuff in that 30 to 40 minutes. And it is, it's the center, as important as bullet time is and the fight against the agents and everything. The highway chase is the center point action sequence in all three films in a lot of ways, just because it's so incredibly done.
The top of the truck fight.
Everything.
It's motorcycle chase. Yeah.
And not only is it's edited well, it's sequenced well. It's a truly amazingly well shot action sequence.
And the Wakasashi. He's got the Wakasashi.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, there's some action scenes, we talked about this before on the show, that get messy. You know, some of Michael Bay stuff, you're like, wait, what's going on? Yeah, but that sequence is just, you know, extremely well edited and shot, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I want to mention that all three of us just now, we all had a lot of different action sequences in our top five, and that just shows you, I think, the reason we are getting another Matrix film is because, man, this is a truly cool franchise, and it holds up well. Despite some of the flaws in Reload and Revolutions, overall it holds up well, and there's so many great sequences to choose from. We all had a pretty diverse top five. I mean, you guys had a couple of the same ones you picked, but I think that shows you how cool this franchise is looking back on it this last couple of weeks, and that it does hold up. It might not be something you revisit in your Blu-ray player or streaming every now and then, but I think they're well enough done that you don't want to watch them all the time because then you might get bored with them.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool just to watch these every now and then, you know, and it's good stuff. And I'm looking forward to the Matrix Resurrections, and I'm sure we will talk about that when it comes out. We'll give our reviews on the show here in a couple weeks when it comes out for sure. So
definitely.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do some news before we get out of here. Not a whole lot of news. Post-holiday week, you know, Hollywood likes to shut down during Hollywood, so not a lot of news came out. But y'all heard about this Rob Zombie Monsters movie? Yeah. That he's making with his wife and everything. I guess Doctor Who and Hobbit actor Sylvester McCoy has now joined the cast. So, I don't know. Interesting. We'll see. You know, I think the Monsters is ripe for a comeback in today's world. Rob Zombie's an interesting choice to make a film. I wish he would cast someone besides his wife in movies because she's not a very good actress, but, you know, it's his wife. What are you going to do, you know? So I thought that was interesting casting now of Sylvester McCoy. This HBO Max Batgirl movie has officially started filming. We'll see.
Yeah,
I mean, as HBO Max, this is what – have they really – I've noticed when I scroll through it, there's a lot of HBO original, Max original, like documentaries and TV series, but they haven't really done a lot of original movies yet, have they? They've gone straight to that service, you know, that I've noticed.
I think so.
You know, it's mostly movies that are in theaters and on HBO Max, so this will be one of their first ones that'll go straight to that service. So we'll see how it does. Kobe Smulders is going to return to the MCU to play Maria Hill. She's been announced as part of the cast for the Secret Invasion series. So that's cool. Everyone always liked her against her and Nick Fury together. So they're bringing her back. And then lastly, man, that new Peacemaker trailer. Man, this show's starting. I wasn't a huge fan of this last Suicide Squad movie, but man, the Peacemaker looks like it's going to be pretty cool. It looks like it might be even more apeshit crazier than even the movie was. So,
I like we'll his see. Personality. You know,
it comes out pretty soon, like January 12th or something, I think. Yeah. So we'll see how that turns out. That's man. I was stretching for news this week. I know there wasn't a whole lot to talk about there, just some casting news and things like that. They did announce that Book of Boba Fett is going to be 7 episodes, not 6. So we get one more than we thought. So
there we go.
7 episodes of Book of Boba Fett here pretty soon. So it's coming out. That's it. And speaking of Star Wars, 5 years ago, they announced they were going to do a series of Disney after The Force Awakens. They announced they were going to do spinoff movies for Star Wars. And the first one announced was the one we're going to talk next week. And that is Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
The world is coming undone. Imperial flags reign across the galaxy.
Can you be trusted without your shackles?
Let's just get this over with, shall we?
We have a mission for you. A major weapons test is imminent. We need to know how to destroy it.
If you're really doing this, I want to help.
Good.
Good. I've been recruiting for the Rebellion for a long time.
We destroyed our home.
I fight the Empire now.
I fear nothing. All is as the Force wills it.
The captain says you are a friend. I will not kill you.
Thanks.
There isn't much time.
Every day they grow stronger.
There is a 97.6% chance of failure.
He means well.
This is our chance to make a real difference.
Are you with me?
All the way.
It's hard to believe this movie's already 5 years. And when this came out, people didn't know what to think about a Star Wars spinoff movie. We were so used to the Skywalker saga. But then this movie hit theaters and it was very well received. And a lot of people really liked it quite a bit. And it was highly successful at theaters. So we figured we'd take the chance to look back at Rogue One 5 years later and see how it still holds up and talk some Star Wars and, even though we'll probably do another Star Wars movie in about 23 weeks or so when we do Return of the Jedi for our 300th episode, but that's okay. You can never get enough Star Wars.
Yeah.
So that's next week on the show. We will talk Rogue One. Obviously you can watch it on Disney Plus if you've never seen it to watch it along with us. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I haven't watched it in a couple of years and I really like Rogue One. I thought it was a really good movie.
Really well made. Two movies back to back with two different interpretations of hope. You know, the Matrix, hope is humanity's...
Rebellions are built on hope.
Rebellions are built on hope. Yeah. And in the Matrix, it's, you know, your greatest, human's greatest strength or greatest weakness.
And it was a... And it's funny because we'll talk about it more next week, but it was a spinoff from Star Wars. And then it's getting a spinoff TV series from its own movie with Cassian Andor. Which I don't know. I know a lot of people aren't looking for. I'm kind of looking forward to Cassian Andor just because of Diego Luna. I really like him. I think he's
gonna be
really
like espionage,
good.
Right?
Huh?
It's gonna be.
I think it's gonna be Star Wars Underworld espionage. I think it's gonna be fun. And
yeah.
And if you ever ever take the time to read anything about Diego Luna in interviews he's done, he really, like, appreciates being in Star Wars, and he really understands what it means to fans, and he does his best to make sure he's doing a good job. Like, he really, like, he gets it. And I think that's why Cassian Andor could be way better than people expect it to be.
It's like the first big Hispanic character, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and he understands his legacy in it. He talked about it. We'll talk about some next week, but he talked about when Rogue One came out, he realized how important of a role it was for him to be an Hispanic actor, to have young Hispanic kids watching him in a Star Wars movie. And it's a really great story that he got that big break, because I think he's a really good actor. And so it'll be fun to talk Rogue One next week, and looking forward to his Cassian show next year. So cool. Yeah. Good stuff, man. That's it, though. The RebelRadioPodcast.com. For all your Rebel Radio needs, and just continue to be safe out there, and don't fight over Nintendo Switches or anything while you're out there shopping. Be nice to each other.
Yeah.
We're not even 3 days into December, and I've already dealt with some rude motherfuckers. It's like, come on, people, be nice to each other.
Yes.
You know? But until next week, as always, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the Oracle.
Remember, live for the Matrix, as always, just go there and do it.
Do it.
See what I did there? We're in the Matrix. You don't even know it.
There we go. We're being used as batteries.
That's right. To program our systems.